One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade.
Anywhere with Jesus I am cast free.
Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can say, sing the second. Anywhere with Jesus I am not
alone.
Yes, they will. Fear I cannot know.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Anywhere with Jesus over the land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as he summons me to go or stay.
Anywhere with Jesus when he points the way.
Anywhere,
anywhere, here I cannot go.
Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep.
When the darkened shadows round about me creep,
knowing I shall wake and never more to roll. Anywhere with Jesus, home sweet home.
Anywhere,
fear I cannot know. I want you to sing one other, and then I want to obey the Lord. Number 163. We used to sing this in our little country church. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my double L, my all. I want us to sing this great song, a number of stanzas of it, and let's let Jesus just be that to us. Jesus is all the world to me, my
life, my joy, my hope.
Is my strength
from day to day.
Without him, I would go. I want us to sing the third stanza, and true to him I'll be. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him
I'll be.
I'm right. No, I'm right.
He loved his army day and night.
He's my friend. Now then, time for the message. Is it possible for a man to sin away his day of grace? We don't hear preaching like that much anymore. The psychologist and the psychiatrist says that's a terrible thing. Mothers and daddies said, I don't want any preacher preaching hellfire and damnation and brimstone to my children. That upsets them and disturbs them. You know, I got thinking this afternoon at the room, the Bible is the only book that I know of that'll greatly disturb you and then settle all your disturbance. I don't mind being disturbed if somebody can settle my disturbance. Nobody has ever done anything for God before they got disturbed. And tonight I'd like to talk with you about two people, and with them, it's all over. No preacher, no church, not even God, and I say that reverently, can change the picture. The die is cast, the destiny is settled, and the doom is sealed. You'd say you believe the Bible teaches that? Without a shadow of a doubt, it teaches that. I believe there are two people that live. One is already sealed and settled for hell, and there's nothing that can be done about it, not one thing. He sinned away his day of grace. Now, you'd say, Brother Olaf, I'm sitting here in this church house tonight, and that makes me feel pretty uncomfortable, because who knows, I may be the man that has grieved the Holy Spirit away forever from my heart's door, because he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, and there is a sin unto death. And in the Gospels, we're told that a man can so rebel against the Holy Spirit that he'd be left alone forever. But I have an encouraging word for you. The very fact of your presence in this building is an indication and evidence to me that God's still dealing with you. If out in radio land you felt impressed to turn on the radio, to listen to the Word of God, that's an evidence that there's still a hunger and the Holy Spirit still pleads with your heart to come to Jesus. I believe that when a man is sinned away his day of grace, I believe he'll be as hard as stone. He'll have no respect for God, no respect for the Holy Spirit, no respect for the blood of Christ, no respect for the Word of God. But I'd say this, the most tragic thing that ever happened to a man on this earth was when he crossed his deadline and said no to God for the last time. And the Holy Spirit, with tears on his majestic face, will move away forever. And never will he be called again to repent or to be saved. Now, I believe that this doctrine needs to be preached. Because I knocked on a sinner's door one day. He came and said, what do you want? I said, I want to talk to you about the Lord. And he said, I'd like to give you to understand that when I get ready, I'll become a Christian. Had a great old praying mother, sainted mother. Oh, how she'd prayed for him. And I remember the very street on Prescott Street when I walked up to his door. And he said, I'd let you know that I'll get saved when I get ready. And he knew enough about being saved till he could talk that kind of language. His mother had prayed for him. He'd heard the gospel preached. He'd sat in our church a time or two. He said, I'll get saved when I get ready. I looked right back through the same string at him and said, you'll be saved when God gets ready. You'll die and go to hell. It's not left up to the sinner altogether. Brother, you better come while you may. Isaiah said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now that suggests to me the time will come when a man will not be close enough to call on God. Call upon him while he is near. Would you like for me to finish the story? This man in his 20s, I'd say about 30, not over 30, his home is broken. He wasn't even to be found when his old mother died. He's drifted, so far as we know, into the very depths of sin, and so far as everybody knows, has crossed the deadline and has never been saved, and I'm not for sure that he's alive today. But the last word I had, he was a stumbling drunkard. He turned his back on Jesus. I talked to a preacher friend. When somebody was dying, and he went to see this person, and this friend in the hospital said, no, I'm not willing to trust Christ. The gospel plan was presented to him. A few days later, he died. The wife called this preacher and said, was he saved? Do you have any hope you could give me? When you went to talk with him in his room? And he said, if he got saved, and he could have, he got saved after I left. Because when I walked out of the room, he was still saying no to Jesus. You'd say, do you believe in deathbed repentance? I've seen very little of it that seemed to be sincere and genuine. Much of it is not faith, it's fear. And many times people are not rational enough to know how to be saved and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd never take a chance on a deathbed repentance. I'd rather get saved when I'm in my right mind, I can hear the gospel, know what I'm doing, confess my sin, forsake it, come to Christ, and let him save me. Don't take a chance on a deathbed repentance. I believe a man could be saved on his deathbed, and I believe many are, because it brings them out to the end of themselves, and if their mind is right, and I've seen some that I believe were genuinely converted, but you'll also have to agree that many who made professions of faith on their deathbed and then got well went right back into sin. It wasn't genuine at all. Now, there are people in the Bible that send away their day of grace. Saul was one of them. Saul rebelled against God. Saul rejected one thing, and this is the one thing that'll send away your day of grace, I believe, as quickly as anything, because the Holy Spirit gave the Word of God. And when we speak against the Holy Spirit, we're speaking against His Word. And when we speak against the Word, that's the reason I'd be afraid to tamper with the Word of God if I was a preacher. I tell you, when you read that last curse in the Bible, in the last chapter of the Bible, that's pretty sobering. He said, anybody that'll add to or take from this word, I'll put all the curses and all the woes right on top of you. And I tell you, if that's true, and it is, then a lot of people got some things to answer for. And I want to say this, and I know I'm old-fashioned, getting more that way all the time, but I don't believe that a lot of these Bibles they're putting out today are necessary or right or good. And you've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it one more time. The King James Version has met every need I've ever had. And you can have all these modern translations, and you can have all of these amplified New Testaments, but I believe the Holy Spirit's the main amplifier that you need. I really do. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't amplify it, men are not going to be able to amplify it. And I believe we've depended too much on men and scholars and education and professors and instructors instead of the Holy Ghost of God to give us the truth. What is the matter with Saul? The Bible said he rejected the word of the Lord. That's it. And God said, because you rejected my word, I've rejected you. Well, dear friends, there's nothing strange about that. Anybody that turns his back on the word of God, God turns his back on him. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit's testimony. Holy Spirit gave us the holy men of God spake as they were moved. No prophecy, no scripture of the prophecy came of private interpretation. No, sir, it's not of any private, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? The Holy Ghost. I like the fact that it's not a private book. I mean, it's not a book just for the priest or the preacher or the professor. Anybody, and the greatest scholars I've ever known, the greatest Bible students I've ever known, have been the simplest people I've ever met. I've been taught things that I never could have gotten anywhere else from the simplest people you've ever seen in all of your life. Saul sinned away his day of grace. There was a man by the name of Belshazzar. He sinned away his day of grace. And the Bible said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Not enough merit in your soul to balance the scales of God. Meaning TKLU Farsin. Weighed in the balance. Kingdom divided and given the Medes and Persians. He was a man that denied the sacredness of the house of God and the vessels of God. And he decided to drink wine and become intoxicated. He desecrated the holy things. And he sinned away his day of grace. And before the sun came up the next morning, Belshazzar was dead, and so far as we know, in hell. You say, is it possible for a man to sin away the day of grace? Really is. Really is. A man in the New Testament, you know what he said? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. With those very words, and brother, that little word almost will lead you across the line to sin away your day of grace. A man can say almost. That's not enough. Paul said, I would to God you were not almost, but altogether as I am, except for these bonds. I want you to be in jail like I am. But oh, almost salvation is not enough. A man said to me one day, and I've seen his home break since then. I've seen three boys go in one direction with their mother, and he went in another's a drunkard. He said, you know, yesterday, this was on Monday night, I went to see him. His old saintly mother had come from a distant state to visit with her wayward son, praying, I think, every turn of the wheel that he'd be saved. He said to me on Monday night, when I pressed the claims of Christ upon his soul, he said, you know, yesterday, when I took my mother to your church and heard the gospel preached, said, I almost surrendered to Christ. Oh, he said, that's the closest I've ever come in my life to being saved. And you know, he said something that makes me want to hang on a little longer. He said, I believe if you'd have just held on a little longer, you might have got me yesterday. Because I was sitting by my mother and I knew she's praying for me. And I've never been saved. But you know what? Almost didn't save him. Another man said, at a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Dear friend, he never did call. Nobody ever gets saved because it's convenient. The flesh never finds a convenient season to be saved. You just have to come while it's today and while it's N-O-W, now. Lost people send away their day of grace and go out to meet God unprepared. I believe Ahab sent away his day of grace. Ahab was a wicked king. And God sent a preacher to him and told him what was going to happen. Said, the dogs will lick your blood in the streets of Jezreel. And that wicked, sorry wife that plotted the death of Naboth and his boys in order to get his vineyard the dogs will eat her rotten body. Dear friend, I believe when that preacher stood in that vineyard with old Ahab taking over his new possession, I believe they both had sinned away the day of grace. And they were just waiting for the judgment morning to roll around. And I believe that every time a dog barked, old Ahab jumped for 3 years. And for 20 years, those old barking dogs haunted that guilty Jezebel because she plotted the death of a godly Jew who was true to God and true to his family. But dear friends, I remind you of one thing. God's justice wheels finally ground into powder. They may grind a little slow, but they grind sure. Nobody gets away from God's FBI. He catches them all. Be sure your sins will find you out. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Nobody ever sinned and got away with it. God's got it all recorded. He's got his recorder on tonight, recording every word I say and every word you hear and every motive of your heart and every breath you draw. God's got it all recorded. He knows exactly. There won't be any guesswork at the judgment, not any. I mean, if he wants to televise your life, he can do that too. And he'll roll out the film and say, if you'd like to see your life relived, I'll put it on the screen for you. There it is. Every day from the day you were born, laid in the arms of your mother, there it is. There's your first birthday right there. You see that? That's the first cigarette you ever smoked right there. That's the first liquor bottle you ever held. Look at it, that you ever held in your hand. That's the revival meeting right there where I called you so loud and you brushed away a few tears, but you turned your back on me. That's it right there. I want you to see your old mother over there in the prayer meeting. There she is right down there praying that you'd be saved. You turned everything away, didn't you? Yes, sir. And dear friends, I believe every sinner will stand before God and say, like David, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. I believe every sinner is going to clear God one of these days. You may blame him now, you may criticize him now, and you may say that he's hard now, but when you stand before him as a lost man, I believe every sinner will say, God is just. I'm getting what comes to me. But you know, there's another sweet thought. As a Christian, I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged, because the Bible said, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's therefore now no judgment or condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm in. I'm one of the in folks. You hear a lot of times said, well, he's in. Well, I'm in. I don't deserve to be in, but I'm in because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I'm going to stand before him. And I'm going to say, a little different from the sinner, I'm getting, praise God, what I do not deserve. I'm getting heaven and eternal life and joy forever. No dying, no suffering, no hospitals. Reckon how many people in this city have sinned away the day of grace. How many have crossed the dead line? How many people are out yonder completely satisfied tonight in front of a television set, watching Hollywood with all of its filth, reading a newspaper, barbecuing in the backyard, but forgetting the Bible down at the church house? How many do you suppose have sinned away the day of grace? An interesting thing to happen. And I'm hearing this more and more. Ladies came to me and said, Brother Olaf, we have a prayer meeting each day. And they're fine Christians. And they said, I want you to join us in prayer that our pastor will be saved. We've got an unsaved pastor of another denomination, but this little group have gotten together and a bunch of them been born again, and they realized immediately that they had a preacher that hadn't been born again. And one of the ladies spoke up, who also is a pastor's wife, and said, you know, my husband is a preacher, and he's just been saved. And said, it's made a tremendous difference in our church after my pastor husband got saved. Isn't that right? She was just tickled to death because she got saved, and then he got to praying for the pastor to be saved, and he got saved. And oh, they're having time now. Did we ever dream we'd come to such a day? And such a Bible famine as we're living in today, when men are satisfied with a religious experience instead of a born-again revolution in their soul. Yes, I believe it's possible for men to send away their day of grace. Let's go a little further. Judas is an outstanding example of a man who sent away his day of grace. You know, Judas really gives the lie to this better environment program. In other words, if you just keep your child in a good environment, teach him to do good and to be good, now that's the philosophy of the world, he'll go to heaven. There's not a lick of truth in it. No, sir. Judas had the very best of environment, didn't he? So did Adam and Eve. You think about Adam and Eve. Evidently, the Word of God came a-walking in the cool of the day, and you know who that is, don't you? That's Jesus. Say what you please. They must have had a visit from Jesus every day. Because I'll say this, when they fell in sin, and of course, we'll have to understand that as long as they had not sinned, they had perfect harmony with heaven all the time. I mean, they had access to heaven all the time. I mean, they had a private line, and there's no conflict, and there's no sin. And so they were just in touch with heaven, Adam and Eve were. But when sin came, the Word of God came a-walking in the cool of the day. And even though Adam ran from it, he ran from the very thing that he needed, and that's the Word of God. And every time man gets in sin, you think he runs to God, and you hear the modernists say, whole world seeking the Lord. Everybody, we're going to have a great revival. Some of them say we're in the midst of a great revival right now. In fact, as one preacher got up and said, we're living in the millennium. Now, well, if we are, it's the devil's millennium. That's not the millennium I'm fixing to go into. Ah, listen, dear friends. There's a heap of things going on in a little city like Graham, which is, comparatively speaking, rather peaceful compared with the big cities and the wicked cities. And more than likely, a far better place to bring your children up than it would be in some of our big cities like Houston and Dallas and Kansas City and St. Louis and so forth and Chicago and New Orleans. But even right here in Graham, every sin, I guess, that's known to Dallas or Chicago is being committed tonight in this city. Dope, gambling, immorality, prostitution, sin, right in your own city. The devil is no respecter of cities. He enters all of them. Judas had good environment, didn't he? My walk with Jesus. Can't you see him? My, what he saw. He looked over and saw Jesus feed thousands of them on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Judas was right there. He looked up and saw the dead raised, and he saw blind eyes pop open. He saw deaf ears unstopped. He saw lepers cleansed. He heard the message falling from the lips of the immortal Savior, God's eternal darling. And yet, he never did receive the truth of the gospel message. He never did. I tell you, that ought to sober most of us to think that you could walk that close to Jesus and then jump into hell. What I'm saying is this, it's not enough for you just to hear the gospel. And it wouldn't surprise me if you have in this church people that come every Sunday morning and hear you, but they've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because there's no change in their life. They never get excited about anything for God. I mean, they get it over with on Sunday morning and say, so long. See you next Sunday. That's enough to make me decent and to make the people think I'm all right. And that's all I can hold. That's enough for me. And here they go. And there's some empty pews where those people ought to be sitting right tonight. And if they love Jesus like you love Jesus, they'd be here tonight. I feel sorry for them because they're missing a blessing. And dear friends, don't kid yourself. Those people didn't all jump in the bed at 7 o'clock and go to sleep. They're watching Satan's old, nasty, dirty, filthy, smutty face tonight. That's exactly what they're doing. But oh, they made a bad choice, didn't they? They could have been here singing. They could have been here when the pastor and his dear wife knelt with the missionary. That'll be going out to tell the sweet story of Christ. Where is the man that hasn't sinned? There's only one man, only one friend I have in my life that never sinned, and they crucified him. Judas sent away his day of grace. You know, I've been asked the question, I'll answer it again. You reckon Jesus would have forgiven Judas if he'd come, like Simon Peter? And wept bitterly. Oh, yes. But you see, Judas evidently was tied on to religion, and he never got over it because he went to the religious leaders with his sin. He went to them and said, I've betrayed innocent blood. And religion did for him just exactly what it'll do for you today. What's that to us? See thou that? We don't care. We got what we wanted. Religion never has any compassion. Religion never has any love. Religion is mechanical, cold, critical, sharp, hard, empty, futile, and fatal. Religion is. Judas sent away his day of grace. You know one thing about sin, it really makes a person blind, doesn't it? I mean really blind. A loved one of mine who's gone through some trouble and sorrow resorted to the bottle. I never dreamed. I've never dreamed. He's been the best boy you've ever seen in all of your life, nearly in many ways. And yet, when the trouble came, his resistance was down, the Bible had been cast out, he reached out and shook hands with old John Barleycorn and said, give me a little help, please. That's a sorry prop, dear friend. And brother pastor, I'm seeing more people come to the funerals these days on two things, liquor and dope. And I resent both of them. No matter what my sorrow may be, I hope I'll never resort to any kind of dope. I hope Jesus will be sufficient, and I believe he will. But more and more, used to when I started preaching years ago, people didn't have to get doped up to come to funerals. Now then they come with their eyes gray, they don't know what the name is, come staggering in, you know, and they say, well, they're in great grief. Yeah. But, dear friends, why don't you read the book of Isaiah where he said, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you believe that, why don't you let him bear them? And if Jesus is not sufficient, and if he hadn't been sufficient when my mother died and when my dad died and when my loved ones have gone to be with the Lord, I believe there's something missing in my soul. And I tell you, folks, I'm so against this dope business until I'd come just as near taking a shot of liquor as I would a shot of dope to attend some loved one's funeral. You'd say, but Brother Olaf, my boy was killed in Vietnam and I went into shock. Well, let Jesus bring you out of your shock. I tell you what, I believe we need some shock-proof Christians. I really do. I mean, we need some storm-proof experiences with the Lord. We need some fireproof Christians. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I feel sorry for you because I just believe Jesus is sufficient. That's what he told Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And it's sufficient out on the battlefield when he's left for dead. It's sufficient out there. It is sufficient when he was cold and hungry, when he was in jail houses, when he was hit 195 times across his back with sharp, lacerating implements. Listen to me. When he came to the chopping block, I don't think he asked Brother Luke to give him a shot or a hypodermic. He walked out under his own strength. said, I'm ready now to be offered up. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, I've laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Now then, I'm going to close the message. There's somebody else in, maybe in the radio land, that has sinned away his day of grace to live. That's a Christian. The Bible said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The Bible said there's a sin unto death for the brethren. That's for Christians. I believe that a Christian can be so careless, so no account, so rebellious, and so indifferent to the cause of Christ, the Word of God, until the Lord will come along and prune him off. Because I'll have to give God credit for being a good husbandman, and when he walks through his grove, and listen, anytime we have a tree down in our grove, oranges and grapefruit that kind of dies out, it won't bear fruit, off it goes and out it goes. My old dad, never will forget this experience. He loved his old white-faced cattle, had some fine registered cattle, great big old things, you know. And I said to Dad one day, I said, Dad, see that old cow there? He said, yes, son. I said, what if she refused to have a calf every year? He said, You know, he's disgusted with me. Asked such a silly question. Think of my boy asking. He said, why, I'd send her to market. I said, what? Well, he said, we'd kill her. Boy, what if my Heavenly Father decided to do that? The undertaker might have a landslide business, do you suppose? I'm serious about it. Are you really serving the Lord? You mean you've been saved and you said, well, I'm not doing anything for God. Dear friends, I believe as I raise this right hand, the saddest funerals I've ever preached have been for the closest friends I've ever known who sinned away their day of grace to live as Christians. I mean, they were Christians. They were saved. And the Lord said, for the good of my own grove and the good of my own orchard, I'll have to prune you off. I've come looking for fruit. Why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down. And Christians, I trust the Lord will let that be a sweet, sobering warning to our lives. Don't you be careless in the matter of witnessing to others and reproducing, because our Heavenly Father could say, unless you bear fruit and glorify the Father, I'll have to prune the limb off.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.